Father, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand this to be true. We pray that you would help us to live as if this is true. Lord, we thank you for the great joy that Easter brings from the darkest day of Jesus' death to the celebration of the resurrection. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather as your people, hear your word, sing your praises. Father, as I speak this morning, I pray that I'd be faithful to your word in all I say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on the 14th of March 2008, the atmosphere in Atlanta's Georgia Dome was electric. 15,000 fans had packed into the basketball stadium to cheer their college teams on. It was in the second round of the semi-finals. The winner of the game would go on in the final series. The loser would be knocked out. Alabama's Crimson Tide was playing Mississippi State Bulldogs. The winning team would continue on. No one imagined that as they watched that game, lives actually hung in the balance as the game played out. You see, in the closing moments of the second half, there was only a couple of seconds to go. Alabama fans had started to leave already, heading towards the exit. Their side was 3 points down with 3 seconds to play. Seemingly no chance of tying the game and taking it into extra time, or overtime, as basketballers call it. Because they had a throw-in, and basketball basically says the Bulldogs would instantly foul the first player to get the ball, they'd therefore get 2 free throws and a maximum of 2 points, which would not win them the game. Well, it didn't actually go the way that most thought it would. The player passed the ball in to Mikhail Riley. Mikhail Riley was fouled, but the referee didn't call it. And as he was tumbling to the floor, he threw the ball in hope at the hoop. Well, the ball bounced right through the hoop, scored a three-pointer, tied the game up, and the game was heading into extra time. The Alabama fans heard the roar, turned around, and rushed back to their seats. No one left the stadium. No one was going to leave. It was an incredible scene. The wild shot sent the game into overtime. 8 minutes later, less than 2 minutes into overtime, the whole of the Georgia Dome began to shake. One person said, "I thought a lot of people in the upper part of the stadium were stomping their feet." But the vibrations had nothing to do with fans stomping their feet. As debris began to fall from the roof, the side wall began to rip away and fall. The scoreboard broke free from its hold and began to swing wildly. You see, outside, an F2 tornado had touched down right on top of the Georgia Dome. Deadly winds peaking at 135 miles an hour. There'd been no warning. It wasn't expected to be bad weather for 3 days. And for several tense minutes, while the game was holding, the fans and the players and the officials all stood there wondering, is the dome going to hold? Once word had spread that the danger had passed, and as the crowd began to filter out, those in attendance realised Mikhail Riley's shot actually saved lives. Because if it hadn't have gone in, there would have been thousands of people streaming into the parking lot, streaming across to the train station, right in the path of the tornado. Instead, as it turns out, they were safely inside. Sports Illustrated called it the shot that saved lives. The shot that saved lives. Now, it's amazing, isn't it? It's an amazing story. And when he spoke that the lives were saved that day, life was given where death was assured. Who knows how many people would have, of the 15,000, would have been dead or severely injured. But friends, the truth is, that at that stadium that night, death wasn't avoided. Death was merely postponed for a little while. Because we all know that everyone inside that stadium one day is going to die. And we all know that every single person in this room one day is going to die. Tragedy was averted. And this morning, as we come to John 11, we see a far greater tragedy can be averted. Can be averted forever. Right through history, millions of lives have been saved. And as we look at how this happened, we're going to work our way through John 11. So if you've got a Bible, please keep it open. And we're going to work our way through the story. We see first off, Jesus hears one of his mates is a bit crook. And his response is a little bit interesting at best. Verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus seems very confident here that this illness, it's not one that's going to die. And we sort of think as we read, well, maybe it's just a case of the man flu. You know, it's pretty bad, but probably not as bad as it seems. As we read on, we see that this is a really serious man flu, because in verse 11, we read, after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." And his disciples go, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." It's a good cure for the man flu, isn't it? And half the congregation here know exactly what I'm talking about. The other half, I'm sure you don't really know what I'm talking about, do you, with the man flu? But anyway, we go on, and Jesus said to them plainly, "Well, Lazarus is dead." And it's not necessarily a warning as to what happens in the man flu. It's a fact. Lazarus is dead. And you can imagine they're confused. Wait a minute. You told us that he wouldn't die. You just said it. This will not end in death. That's what you said. But now you're telling us he's dead. Well, what went wrong? Maybe we should have gone earlier. Well, as we read on, we see it was actually a deliberate action by Jesus. "Lazarus is dead," verse 15, "and for your sake I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe." You see, Jesus says, "I'm doing this for your benefit." And as it turns out, it's for our benefit as well, because we can see what Jesus is doing here. As he heads down to Bethany, we learn Lazarus is dead, he's buried, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. And as Jesus approaches, met by Martha, who's Lazarus' sister. And she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus says in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Friends, this Easter, we want to understand the impact of those words. "I am the resurrection and the life." See what Jesus is saying here? Absolutely turns the thought of death upside down. He's saying death is not the end. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Which is a strange thing to say, considering his good mate Lazarus is dead in a tomb. Jesus here is claiming authority over life and death. That's why he can say this. This sickness is not going to end in death. And that's why he can say Lazarus has just fallen asleep. Because this is not the death that ends. I'm going there to wake him up. Martha, your brother will rise again. And Jesus can say this because he has authority over death. Jesus fully understands the power of death, but he knows that he has authority over it. He knows that death is not the end. And if what Jesus is saying here is true, well, it radically changes the way we view death. I know it's an unpopular topic. We don't like to talk about death. But Jesus says death is no longer the end. Death does not get the final word. It doesn't get the final say. And they're life-changing claims. Jesus is making huge claims here. But from what we've read at the moment, they're only words. Lazarus is dead in the tomb 4 days. He's starting to stink, we're told. People are sad. There's a lot of comfort in what's being said, but he's still dead. And it seems we get a lot of promises, don't we? We get a lot of promises. And would know the late 80s, I think it was around the first time that I ever voted, I heard one of our famous prime ministers say, no Australian child will be in poverty by the year 1990. We know who said that, don't we? Yes, Bob Bork, well done. And this year, well, it's shaping as another of those sort of years, isn't it? We've got a federal election coming up, there's going to be stacks of promises made. And so our politicians, well, you know, sometimes they go all right, sometimes we think, oh my goodness, they're not really living up to what they promised us. But it's not only our politicians. You see, there's lots of people that we can't really trust. So I've got some photos up here. Oh, sorry, I've skipped ahead a bit. Yep, keep going. Well, they're coming. One more. Okay, so these are some plumbers that have sort of missed the boat a little bit with their deal that what they said they would do. Next one. That's well worked, isn't it? Yep, next. You want to employ these plumbers? Try closing the toilet door. Next. Yep, try getting the toilet paper all the way over there. Yep, I like this next one. This is my favourite. And I think there's one more. Yeah. Yeah, that's the way. Now, I mean, you know, there's some trustworthy people and not so trustworthy people. But Jesus here, he's making big claims, isn't he? He is the resurrection and the life. And he backs it up with action. He shows that he can be trusted. Jesus said Lazarus' sickness would not end in death. How did it end? We read on and it ends with new life. Verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, it's going to stink. You know, it's a bad odour. He's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Then down to verse 43. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out. His hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. Friends, this is a miracle. But it's way more than that. It's proof that Jesus is who he says. It's proof that he has the power over death. And if it can get better than that, it does. Because a little bit further on, if you read further on through John, Jesus shows us that he has the ultimate power over death. By raising himself from the dead. Early on that first Easter Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary went to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away. But Jesus was no longer dead. The tomb was empty. It was empty because Jesus is alive. Just like Lazarus, Jesus was dead. Just like Lazarus, Jesus was laid in a tomb with a stone rolled across the front. Just like Lazarus, he was there for several days. And just like Lazarus, Jesus was brought back to life. But unlike Lazarus, Jesus will never die again. Jesus wasn't a victim of death. He willingly allowed himself to die so that by rising again, he may destroy the power of death. Death holds no power over him. Death wasn't the end for Lazarus. Death was not the end for Jesus. And death is not the end for you and I. Again, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Believers in Jesus will experience a resurrection to life. It's guaranteed. Because Jesus lives, we will live. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we have resurrection and life. And it is impossible for that to be defeated. Jesus has changed how we view death. He's changed death's power. It's lost its sting. It has no power. It has no victory. In Jesus, we live even though we die. It's eternal life. A life that is lived the way it was always meant to be. And I want to ask you this morning, this Easter morning, has Jesus' resurrection changed you? Do you believe this to be true? Do you trust that Jesus' resurrection makes eternal life a reality for everyone who believes? It's the game changer. That goal talked about, you know, that I talked about at the start, may have saved 20, 30, 60, maybe even 100 lives. Who knows? Jesus' death and resurrection saves millions and millions of lives and offers eternal life to those who believe. Are you going to put your trust in Jesus who defeated death on your behalf? Promised eternal life for all those who believe in him.